What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 149 of the PS3 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Izzy will be joining us temporarily. He's nursing a hangover. Yeah, so who knows how he's doing that. He said he was eating a greasy breakfast, but then he sent a text saying he'd join later on. That way he can manage his time better, whatever that means. Hangover time.
Hangover time.
Yeah. So we'll just go ahead and jump into new releases. The big one this week, of course, was Evolve. There was also Minutes, Super Stardust Ultra, and Unmechanical Extended on PS4. PS3 got Chivalry, Medieval War, Hyper Void, and Unmechanical Extended as well. Vita gets Minutes, Eternal Blade, Jungle Rumble, Freedom, Happiness, and Bananas. No idea what that is. PlayStation Plus, of course, Kick and Fennec are free, is free for Vita. Apotheon is free on PS4, Rogue Legacy, Thief is free on PS3, Transistor's free on PS4, Yakuza 4 is free on PS3. what else we got? DLC. Oh, we'll get into DLC. There are later articles. There's DLC for some games, but we'll get into those. Bunch of discounts going on. Things like Metal Slug, everything Metal Slug, the King of Fighters, 94, 95, 96, 99, 13, Orochi Saga, all those King of Fighter games, Samurai Showdown, the RIPD game apparently. And there we go. Let's go jump into new. I guess we'll just stick with the DLC. So a new piece of DLC that came this week is the Lost Contact DLC for Alien Isolation, which is available now. It's the fourth and second to last pack of downloadable content. Apparently this DLC is an add-on for the Survivor mode, from according to IGN, in which players are put up against a series of different enemies with only one life. You play as Axel, apparently, and you have to salvage and navigate a map and fill the corridors, crawl spaces, all the usual stuff, craft items, and survive. And of course, it's the Survivor mode. The more you do, the more points you get, and all that stuff, and it goes up on the leaderboards. It's a cool idea. I wish I had more friends that had the game, because then I'd love to play the Survivor mode, because I haven't played it at all. And then like challenge their time, see like who could do something faster. The other big DLC is for Far Cry 4. It's the Overrun DLC. It's the latest one. It's available now for all platforms. The Overrun DLC is new PvP mode, in which players battle for control over designated locations to score points, of course. And the faction with the most points after two rounds is the winner. Overrun comes with four new maps, as well as a new vehicle, the Doom Buggy. Doom Buggy's a classic, and it's been around since Far Cry 2. I think even added in Far Cry 3 later on. Apparently, let's see. The Syringe and the Herc Deluxe Pack are currently available, obviously, and the Validities DLC hasn't been given a release date yet. That's the one I'm looking forward to, because that one's a single-player one, which I look forward to. I like the multiplayer for Far Cry 4, but when I initially played it, it had a little bit of server problems. And there would just be some delay, like I'd shoot a guy with an explosive arrow, and then it would blow up like a second later, and he'd fly into the air, which is really funny. But if it was a little more polished, I'd play it more. But I have to let you make maps for it, since you can only make maps for the challenges. All right, let's see. The other bit of DLC is, where'd it go? Oh, Dying Light. Not Dying Light. I totally lost my article. Dying Light is getting some DLC soon. It is getting also a patch to add a devastating hard mode, according to the dev. Apparently either the start of March or sooner. Hopefully sooner. It's a new feature will ramp up nighttime difficulty, where the infected will become much more vicious, which is good, because I felt like nighttime isn't really that bad. Like if one of the volatiles see you, it's like Assassin's Creed, where the bad guys don't see you right away. Like a meter fills up, and once that meter's full, then they detect you. But I feel like the speed at which the meter fills is way too slow, and like, if you're right next to them, they're going to see you. But even when you're within like sane distance is still too slow or even a little bit closer. Like, unless you're right next to him, it doesn't matter. You can get away and just hide real quick. I feel like I wish it was a little tougher at night, because I like running around at nighttime. So I'm glad this mode's coming out. So I figured I should wait to play more Dying Light until this new hard mode comes out, and then just up the difficulty. Which sounds like a lot of fun. There was a mission I played where you had to do it at night, and the way the mission was designed was engineered to be difficult at night. But it wasn't a standard, oh, it's nighttime, I'm running around doing random stuff just for the bonus XP.
That was supposed to be the whole point in Dying Light. It was like, at night, it was incredibly dangerous and difficult to go and do things.
It is. Don't get me wrong, I am making sure I am dodging out of the way. But like, the thing is, if there's a guy, you can see their cone of vision, much like Metal Gear, where if he can see me, the speed at which his meter fills up is slow enough that I can get away. Granted, I might get away into some nowhere area where it's not where I need to be at all. And now that I've progressed far enough in the story, they've introduced an even newer type of creature that when he sees you, he just books it and runs. But I think his yelling kind of attracts the volatiles. Mm-hmm. If I'm just running around, typically I like to traverse from one mission to another at night. But then if there's a random, airdrop, yeah, that's really tough. It's like, okay, now I have to throw a firecracker over in the distance to distract the guys or something like that. But typically if I'm just running around getting the parkour bonus XP between one location to another and not doing a mission, it's just kind of easy to dodge it. Just like, okay, especially once you get the grappling hook, it's like, oh, you can get out of there. I just wish the meter would fill up a little bit faster. Because I do like running away from, sometimes I'll make myself get caught on purpose just so I can run. And you get bonus points for being, for escaping, but I just want that meter to fill up faster. But yeah, it is, playing at night is still scary. It's like, I'll still take it slow and still play stealthy in a lot of parts, trying to figure out where they are. Make sure no regular zombies see me, because then they'll give away my position. But, yeah, I look forward to that. Let's see here. What else we get? Boom, boom, boom. Next bit of news. Helldivers got a release date. It's set for March 3rd in the U.S. and March 4th in the EU. That's, of course, the top-down shooter from Arrowhead Game Studios. They showed videos of that at the PSX event back in December. I'm looking for the game. It looks fun. I like those top-down shooters like that, and that one looked pretty good. It's also got Friendly Fire, which seems like a good idea. I haven't played a top-down shooter like that since Dead Nation. Let's see what else we got. PlayStation announced a PlayStation Heroes program where it's for charity, where you buy content, game content, in the name of charity. There's like a special segment in the store that will show you games and DLC that if you buy it will give you points into a charity drawing where you can play against a celebrity either online or in person, and then in a random game and a random celebrity. It sounds like a pretty cool idea, especially it's about 90%, at least 90% of the purchases go towards a specific participating charity. So at launch is going to be Make-A-Wish Foundation USO and the V Foundation for Cancer Research, and then each of which will be receiving $100,000 from Sony to start the initiative. The app, I guess it's an app, the app won't be available until February 24th, but it'll allow you to find, information regarding upcoming game events, purchase content, and everything else.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that idea, donate, a lot of places do that, even the White House does that, where it's like, donate to a campaign or a party, and you can enter a drawing to win, go to the dinner where the president's going to have a talk or something. But this obviously is a game company, but that'd be kind of fun to do something like that. I could see if it was like a DLC, or if they I don't know, if they had the games that were coming out in a new week that I was going to buy digitally anyways, I would buy them through there just to have the money go towards the charity. Yeah. Not necessarily care about the chance to win a drawing, but have my money go towards another cause. That'd be kind of cool. So we'll see what happens when that app comes out and how much DLC and, you know, things. There's other stuff you can do as well. You can choose to pre-order stuff. You can get themes and everything like that. Oh, looks like Izzy's ready. There he is. Okay, well, let's get him in here. And then we'll move on to the next piece of news. Since Izzy's late to the party. All right. Let's see here. And there's Izzy.
Yo. All
right.
Hi.
Let's go to the next bit of news here. They finally allowed PSN sub-accounts can be upgraded to master accounts.
I didn't know what the hell sub-accounts were, so I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. And then I opened the article. I was like, oh.
Yeah, you don't.
I didn't even know that was a thing that you could limit accounts. You know,
it's like the big issue sub-accounts came in was for like that this was a feature that was asked on PS3 a long time ago, where like a parent will have their master account and then create sub-accounts for their kids. But once their kids get old enough, they're like, okay, well, I want them to have a master account, but you can't transition that account into a master account. You have to just get rid of it entirely, so you lose all your stuff if you want to be a master account on the PSN. So
oh
it was
God.
Like, yeah, so it's kind of annoying, and there'd be obviously, you know, other situations where that could be super annoying if you don't make it a master account from the initial creation. But apparently, as of when was this article written, on the 12th, users can, you know, upgrade their sub-account to master accounts and transfer over their profiles. The announcement comes away the PlayStation blog, who says that these account upgrades can only be done through the web at this time. The ability to upgrade through the PS4 is expected to arrive in the future. But if you finish the official upgrade page at PlayStation blog, you can learn more about the process. And the reason you'd have sub-accounts is because you can limit PlayStation usage for people under 18, stuff like that, access to certain content on the network and messages, or if you want to put limits on there, stuff like that. But like, oh, you can play, but your PS4 won't play after 10 o'clock or something, you know. But it's cool that they have those. I can see people, if they, you know, just created sub accounts for like I don't know, like a friend or a roommate or something, like, oh, you can just make a sub account, and their friends are like, oh, I want to carry over all that trophy progress. Like, well, you're a sub account, you can't do that right now. But
awkward.
Yeah. Let's see. According to a conference call with investors, it looks like Ubisoft confirmed, obviously, a new Assassin's Creed is coming out, but apparently Rainbow Six Siege and The Division are both coming out this year, which I feel, I was having a conversation with my cousin. It's weird to me that you'd release both Tom Clancy games in the same year. Granted, they're slightly different. One's first person, one's third person. You know, one's a small group online, and then the other one's a like more MMO online in third person.
But still seems like they're going to be competing with each other.
Yeah, they're both shooters. I mean, and Ubisoft obviously has done this before with Assassin's Creed and Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4, but it's just weird because they're both Tom Clancy games. So unless one comes out in the summer, like let's say end of July, early August, and the other one comes out in the end of November or December, that's the only way I could see it. Because I feel like, granted, there won't be a whole lot of crossover, and we've had other, you know, people release first-party titles on their consoles.
I feel like they couldn't do that, though, because I don't think either game's probably far enough along that they could release one in, like, July.
I'd assume the one that would be the easiest would be Rainbow Six Siege, considering I'm assuming that one's going to come out first, because the online connectivity issues on that probably won't happen, since it's such a small, you know, versus the issues that could arise on The Division being a much bigger, more ambitious game. But I feel like, yeah, Siege would come out first, and then The Division would come out later. But who knows how they're going to space out. It could be, maybe they could do the Assassin's Creed thing, and it could be in Assassin's Creed will be October again, and then Siege could be November, and then Division could be December. That's how Far Cry 3 was happening. This is had Assassin's Creed in end of October, and then Far Cry 3 got pushed to December, and then I guess they could do something like that, I guess. But it's just weird that they'd be the same. I figured The Division probably wouldn't come out until beginning of next year, maybe, depending on how far along it is. Who knows, maybe we'll see some more stuff at E3. Speaking of E3, Bethesda is hosting their first ever E3 conference. That's something they never
really do, so never before.
Never. They've never done one, so it's.
I guess they always do behind the scenes things.
Or they can just show it at, you know, someone else's event if they wanted.
Well, they must have something big if they're planning on doing that.
That's everybody's assuming it's going to be Fallout 4. Or a lot of people are assuming it's Fallout 4, because that would be the next game that they would be releasing, since they always go back and forth between Fallout and Elder Scrolls. So we'll see what happens there. But and obviously, it would have to be one of that and not one of the other games that they had under their banner, such as Dishonored and Wolfenstein and The Evil Within were too new to have sequels, so it's got to be Fallout. But we'll see. I look forward to Fallout. I do like Fallout.
Yeah, I don't want to get my hopes up. I would like Fallout way too much.
Yeah, it could happen. I don't see why it wouldn't.
It could happen, but we'll see. That would be incredible, and I don't want to get my hopes up because it would be really awesome.
Let's see here. I'm trying to see when. Let's see. The last Fallout game came out in 2010. So
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And then 2011 was Skyrim. And then obviously The Elder Scrolls Online doesn't really count. Because that's a different group. Not Bethesda proper. So it must be working on, like, spend that time working on a whole new engine and then updating the engine to be compatible with the Xbox One, PS4 when those got announced. And then it's got to be working on Fallout 4. But we'll see. What else do we have here? We talked about that. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I guess that looks like it is basically it for the news. The things we went on when you were out, we talked about that it was DLC for Alien Isolation, Far Cry, the new hard mode coming to Dying Light, Helldivers release date, and new releases like Evolve.
And Peter Molyneux finally deciding he's not going to speak to the public anymore.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to... That whole thing was like, I didn't even pay attention. Also, it was like, bam, my news feed and my game section was like, everything Peter Molyneux. I was like, what?
I was laughing my ass off.
Like, it literally took this long for him to be like, you know what, maybe I'm not the greatest PR person in the world.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't believe that because I've never believed any of his promises. So I still don't think he's going to be able to do that.
I don't. Well, he said it, so I don't believe it.
Should be funny. Pretty much, and that's the problem. That's pretty much why he's doing this.
Yeah. But that whole thing is just, you know, out of control.
Kind of sad, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredibly funny. He's not a bad guy, and he's always been great talking to press and like co-hosting events and various things. It's just whenever he starts a game, he's just got this lofty goal for it that if you really think about it, you know it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then everyone gets pissed off when it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know it's not going to work. You have a like history.
For example, his recent game, Godus or Goddess, however it's pronounced, he's promising this giant like MMO type browser game, an amazing PC experience. It's like part SimCity, part MMO. And then they're developing it in a year for $500,000. Mm-hmm. You know it's not going to be like some giant game that redefines everything we've known, because it's just not enough time.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention that kid that won the contest and him just getting shafted on the whole thing. But, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? But,
poor guy.
Yeah. Let's see, what else is there? I know, so I haven't picked up Evolve, and I probably won't unless I knew you know, a group of people that I play with, then it'd be like, you know, we all play it. But other than that, I probably won't get it. It does this one. I watched some Twitch stream of it last night. And they do this thing that's kind of cool that I wish The Last of Us did, where at the end of the round, it has an overlay of the map, and it shows dots for the creature and then a dot for each of the other playable characters, and it shows you the path that they took throughout the whole map, like where the engagements took place. It's like just this, you know, Indiana Jones style overlay where it just shows you where everybody went. And it's really cool. I kind of wish, I would love to see that on a Last of Us map where it just has the map top down and I just have dots so I could see where everybody went, where they respawn, and the paths they always take. That'd be so fun. I'd love to see that kind of stuff after a match.
But it'd be pretty cool. I think the problem with Last of Us is it's not quite as much of a roaming first-person shooter. It's more of a camping one.
Well, you can... Well, you know, you always... We play matches and we're like, okay, we're going. Like, I don't see anybody. Where'd they go? Oh, they probably went right as well. And, you know, we end up just going in a big circle. Like, okay, we're going to have to cut across the middle of the map at some point. It'd just be funny to see, like... Or where... when one guy sneaks up behind a group, or when you sneak up behind a group, and like you watch the replay, just watch my dot, and like, you know, like at 4.5 minutes, you could see yourself go all around and then sneak behind him, and all of a sudden all the characters, all the other dots, like turn to X's or something because you just took everybody out with like a single Molotov. It'd just be fun.
That would be pretty amusing.
The dots go crazy and spread out.
Yeah, all the dots just spread, and it's like, oh, toss down. But
that's where I found them.
But yeah. There's a lot of people Twitch stream and a lot of people watch it, but it got some good reviews on some people, and then other people gave it... I know Destructoid gave it a 6. I mean, it seems like it'd be fun to play with friends, but I just don't want to play with randoms. And I think right now they need to patch it because one of the monsters is a little OP. So, the Wraith. That's all that one guy was using was the Wraith the whole time. He had, like... He's number 2 on the leaderboard for wins with the Wraith. And he was trying to get past the guy at number 1 on his live stream.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a fun game. I don't plan on picking it up just because the DLC thing bothers me.
Mm-hmm. All the extra optional DLC?
There's just a lot of DLC. Like, the monster for $15, and if that's going to be their business model, I don't want to play that game because I'm not going to spend that much money on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only DLC I really buy is... single player like storyline DLC. If it's not single player storyline DLC, I pretty much avoid it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because Evolve is a multiplayer online game, it kind of makes me doubt that they're going to have good DLC. So when they sell monsters and like characters for that, it, I don't know, just kind of turns me off from the game.
Yeah, I can see him doing like a lot of skins for both the characters and the monsters.
Well, I'm not worried about skins. I'm worried about the actual monsters because they're selling an actual monster for $15.
Yeah.
Like later down the line, are they going to do, you know, exclusive monsters that you can only get from, you know, paying $15 for it?
Who's the publisher? Because,
I don't know.
Because typically DLC pricing is the publisher's call, not necessarily the developer.
Oh, it's not the developer's call. It's usually the publisher's call. Yeah,
yeah.
But
so I'm wondering who the publisher of... Who's the publisher of Evolve?
But that doesn't make the game any more appealing to me. Like, I understand it's not their fault completely, but that still doesn't mean I'm interested in the game as much.
I still love their logo.
It seems like the publisher forced them to take everything that was unlockable in the game and make it pay DLC.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't have that much time or money to spend on shit like that.
2K games, that's what it is. One of the issues I hear about the thing is that the level up process for each of the characters and the monsters just takes way too long. Like, you really have to grind out to unlock stuff. And it's having the options of everything unlocked from the beginning would have been a much better strategy, because then the game would have been more fun. Because initially, obviously, it feels very restricted on what you can do and the customizations you can do. But once everything's open, it's like, then it's a much more enjoyable game because then you can mix things up. And I feel like there are a lot of games, not a lot of games, but there are some games that suffer from that where they lock out you know, they have a progression system, but it's like once you get that unlocked, then the game becomes much better. It's like, well, if it's better once you do that, just make it unlocked from the beginning. But
I don't know. I mean, I understand the appeal of wanting to unlock something makes people play more. Yeah, I understand that desire.
I don't mind that. Just maybe make it easier. Don't make it such a grind. You know, don't make it take so goddamn long. Because I played games where, you know, like Last of Us is like that. You have to play it to continue to unlock stuff. But the speed at which things unlock and evolve apparently just isn't nearly as good. But
I mean, granted, that's something that's pretty easy to patch. So it might change down the line.
Yeah, the game did just come out. And I know they're already talking about patching some of the some stuff, so they, who knows, maybe they could make that go a little quicker. But other than that, yeah, not much else in the way of news that I can recall. Yep, I'm not much. What have you been playing recently, Izzy?
I downloaded Rogue Legacy and I'm finishing that up. You know, it's kind of funny, when the PS4 first came out, I talked about how I didn't really care about indie games that much and I wanted to see more huge first-party games and just AAA games. And it's kind of amusing because I find myself mostly playing indie games on my PS4.
Well, there's not very many good games out for PS4, so...
Well, there's a lot of really good games out for PS4, actually. Like,
it's all about what you like.
Yeah, I guess it's about what you like. But yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out for PS4 now and Xbox, both of them. But I just find myself loving the indie games, which is kind of amusing.
That's the one thing about games, too, that people talk about when they're like, oh, you know, they always, when they look at a console, they always say, okay, well, there's, well, we've talked about this, too. And it's like, you know, there's not much first party. It's like, yeah, I could have an issue with, okay, there's not many first-party titles, but I still buy every other game, you know, on my console. That's like when I look at this holiday season, it's like, oh, what's it going to be? You know, there'll be, or like last season, it's like, oh, there's Far Cry 4, there's Assassin's Creed, there was, Shadow of Mordor, Middle Earth. Alien Isolation. There was
Shadow of Earth, Middle of Mordor.
That's right. There's Isolation and Dragon Age. There's like a ton of games. There's like six games, and it's like, oh, well, there's no real aside from LVP3. There's no first party. It's like, yeah, but I'm still gonna buy those six games on PS4. It's like I don't know. It's just like when they go, oh, the PS4, you know, it's a top selling console January, and it sold so far over 20 million consoles to people. It's like, that's weird that it's selling so well when there's not a whole lot of first party. It's like, well, you can buy it in anticipation of the first party but still play all the third party titles on it.
Oh, there's a lot of great third party titles, and then you do have a lot of first party ones that are coming, or not just first party, but you've got a lot of exclusive ones that are coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot of more console exclusive indie titles on PS4 as well,
right?
But
I mean, you've got Bloodborne coming up, you have Last of Us, so you do have some of the big name ones that are either coming out shortly or are already out. But it's just amusing for me because I insulted indie games. I wanted pretty much nothing to do with them. Mm-hmm. And most of the indie games are the ones that I'm loving. Like, I'm playing Rogue Legacy. It's an awesome game. I was playing Binding of Isaac for much longer than I've played most other games. Like Transistor, incredible game.
Mm-hmm.
Velocity 2X, Resogun. There's a lot of really good games that I've...
Swapper, that's really good.
Yeah, I've put more time into some of those than I have most of the main AAA games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I think I beat... I complained about this when it came out, too. When Resistance 3 came out, I think I beat the main story for that and got the platinum in like 5 hours total.
Really? Only 5 hours? I don't remember that game being that short. That game was longer for me, but
no, it was the main like campaign was a really short game. Like a painfully short game. And then the multiplayer was also short to unlock everything. And I beat the entire thing in like 5 hours.
I don't know.
It was. I'm telling you, it was a short game.
Because I know I spent at least 8 hours in that game.
Well, maybe I'm just better at first-person shooters.
To platinum a game.
Well, not to platinum, no, because I didn't I didn't collect all the stuff. Like, I didn't platinum the game. I just played it through the one time.
I mean, it just didn't have an abrupt ending like fucking Metal Gear Rising. It was like, oh, game's over. Wait, what?
Kind of had an abrupt ending. I can't remember quite what happened, but spoilers, it was basically...
They closed the portal. You go on.
He closes the portal and may or may not die.
Well, he escapes because you go on there. You're left. Everybody else leaves the main ship. He shuts down. You shut down the portal, and you get off and you escape. And the portal's closed now. Slowly, everyone is going back to their normal life, while the remainder of the Chimera are kind of just, you know, unsure what to do and dying off because they no longer have the connection to the home world, I guess.
Yeah, that series lost me when they killed off Nathan Hale. I was always hoping, like, until the third game actually came out and until I beat it, pretty much the entire time I was playing the third game, I was hoping that he wasn't really dead, because it was much more interesting having him transforming than having, God, I can't remember the other guy's name. The jackass who shot him. It was much more interesting than having the jackass who shot him as the main character.
I really like 3. I thought it was really dark, too. Like, especially after you get on the train and you get locked in that prison and you have to escape.
It was really dark, but it didn't feel like it was connected to the first two. Because the first two, you kill off a main character. The problem I struggled with was it didn't feel like the next entry in the series. It felt like a new, like, entry.
Well, you're new in the sense that you're a different character, too. But
new in the sense that it's like, I don't know. To me, it didn't feel connected to the first two. And I think that was because of the main character being killed.
Like a 20 years later kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit of time later. There's a lot of levels in that game. I love the... they had that one level that was very much inspired by episode 2 of Half-Life 2. There's this one segment where you couldn't fight something. You just had to run from it down tunnels. Like, oh, this reminds me of Half-Life. And then some of the new creatures that they had in Resistance 3 were great. I enjoyed the game a lot, but...
Well, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it.
But, let's see here. What about you, Zaya? What have you been doing? Just playing Zelda?
Mm-hmm. I bought Majora's Mask, so I just been playing that. And, like, nothing before that. Mario. Still.
Mario.
Did you ever play Life is Strange? Or did you just watch someone play?
No, I'm going to wait until the second episode comes out, and then I'm going to buy like the full pack on Steam. Just so I can play through the first and second episode at once.
There you go. Back to back.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a little bit more content to it, I don't feel like. I only
then
got
who am I supposed to theorize with things?
I've watched like 4 people play it. I know everything that happens in the first one.
I still think it's going to be like a butterfly. Oh, I probably shouldn't spoil all of that.
But just go to a Reddit r/Life is Strange and talk about it on there. Or start a discussion in the PS4 subreddit. Be like, Life is Strange discussion.
Okay, no spoilers, but I do think they did a better job at an action game or a story-driven game like that than Telltale.
See, I've never played any of the Telltale games, so this is like my first foray into story game.
In a point and click? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only Telltale game I played was a couple of the Back to the Future ones, and I know that wasn't the top of their list, or top of their game, but... other than that, I haven't played any of the other Telltale games. I'm interested kind of in the Borderlands one, but I'll wait till the whole thing comes out, and then other than that.
The Borderlands one and the Game of Thrones one I might play. I don't know. I haven't decided completely yet.
Yeah, I'll wait till they all come out and find out and see what's up. Other than that, I'm not interested in any of the other ones.
Life is Strange to me was much more interesting because I just enjoy science fiction much more than I like pretty much all of their other series that they've done so far. Mm-hmm. Like Borderlands, yes, it's sort of sci-fi, but it's much more humor-based. I'm a huge fan of like actual kind of Twin Peaks sci-fi, and that's what Life is Strange really reminds me of.
Mm-hmm. Like heavy drama.
Heavy drama, but it's also really weird.
Yeah. all right. I don't know when the... they just released
the hell was that?
There's a sound. They just released the second episode of...
It was a sound. Great.
Yeah, I made a sound. You got. Yeah. What was that? It was me. I made a sound. I can't... What else am I supposed to do? But, if I clap, you're like, what was that? It's like, I clapped. It was a sound. Why? But they released the second episode of Game of Thrones, but I'm curious when they're going to release the next episode of Borderlands. Who knows? Because it was weird, because it was like Borderlands, Game of Thrones, and they did a Game of Thrones one again instead of doing Borderlands. Which is a little weird, but yeah, other than that, I haven't played much. I've stopped playing. I'm holding off on playing Dying Light. I talked earlier with Zai about it. Because they're introducing that hard mode, the devastating hard mode. So I'm gonna wait for that to come out.
I think that'll be a fun hard mode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I was telling her, at nighttime, I felt like the rate at which it takes the volatiles to fully see you when you're at a decent distance takes too long, and I wanted to fill it faster. So I'm hoping it fills it faster, and I'm hoping maybe it'll increase more of the runner zombies that go after you. But not that they're difficult to get away from, but at least they attract other volatiles. Let's see.
That was such a shockingly like fun game. I did not expect that to be as fun as it was.
The very little bit you played of.
The very little bit I've played. Well, yeah. I will be going back to it since I've almost platinumed Rogue Legacy, so then I can go back to Dying Light.
There you go.
But now I might wait for the hard mode because I tend to like playing hard modes from the start before I get used to a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you get used to a game, hard modes kind of feel pretty much like the normal mode since you already know a lot about the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I might wait for the hard mode as well to dive back into it, but it'll be soon.
Yeah. Hopefully that'll come out quicker than beginning of March, but because I would like to, I might play a little bit more Dying Light Day. Maybe not do any story, but just run around and screw around and do side missions. That way I can wait to do more of the story later on once the higher difficulty comes out. I do want to play some of that Alien Isolation DLC, the one where you're on the Nostromo. I do want to play that, but I haven't played that yet. Other than that, yeah.
See, there's a lot of good stuff out.
Yeah, I still have to start up. Maybe I should just go back and finish up Mordor, because like I played Mordor a bunch, and then Dying Light came out. And I was like, oh, let's try Dying Light. And I was like, oh, I love Dying Light. This is what I want. And then now I got to go back and maybe finish Mordor. But I guess that'll about do it. Short episode, because there wasn't much news. Yeah, so that'll... I guess we need a secret word. If Izzy wasn't here, we can do a secret word about Izzy, but he is here this week, so we can't do one about him.
That's so sad.
Hangover?
I'm not hungover anymore. I had a greasy breakfast and drank a lot of water.
It's so gross. And hair of the dog.
But... No, I didn't have hair of the dog. I had water.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Water.
It's pretty much the exact opposite.
Hey, if you could see through it, it's water. Got water in it.
It's mostly water.
Yeah. But, I guess, what should the secret word be? Let's see. I could do hangover, but I don't really want to do hangover.
Because I'm not hungover.
You were.
God, you just gotta ruin everything, Izzy.
Yeah, we're just gonna make a hangover. So hangover will be the secret word.
I win.
Yep, Zaya wins. Since Izzy, it's fair, because Izzy chose last week's at Zaya's expense, so.
I did?
Yeah, ultimate selfie.
What?
Because I was telling him about that picture that Michael posted where he's taking a selfie of him and you're in the background taking a selfie of yourself or something when you're at the beach.
Oh, I wasn't taking a selfie of myself.
It looks like you're taking a selfie, though.
It looks, yeah, because I'm using my phone. Selfie. I was taking a picture of the beach.
Okay, yeah, so he calls it, Izzy wanted to call it the ultimate selfie. That's how it looked. It was funny.
Selfieception.
Yep. Selfception. But all right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this week. Again, another short episode because not a ton of news. We blew through some of the stuff that was already there. Maybe there will be some more news next week or coming up as more shows start coming around. I know. Obviously, E3's not until June, but we do have other stuff, PAX and Gamescom before E3 or after E3. I never remember, but I'll have to look.
I don't know. There's so many shows I can never keep them all straight anymore.
Yeah. But all right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Isley, and thank you, Zaya.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.